Good morning and welcome to the original Loretta Brown Show with Benny Mathers, my amazing producer.
Hi.
We're back. We are back.
We got through the Christmas.
We did. We're here and bright and early on the day after Christmas. It is foggy and it is freezing outside.
Brisk. Careful while you're commuting around.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And be careful walking around because it's a little slippery in places.
Yeah.
That's right.
I ever tell you the story real fast about my grandma? She used to have those like the, you could attach these like claws on the bottom of her boots.
You mean like
An actual metal like
crampons
claw, like
a, or whatever.
Yeah.
Really?
Can never find them now, but they're like from like 50s or something like that. She wore them every day when she went walking. We used to live in Alaska for those that didn't know that already. So she walked like 3 to 4 miles every day, and she'd always put those on.
Man, I gotta give her credit.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to like run into her either. Like, you know, she's like claw the back of your heel or something.
Cramponing around on the ice,
right?
Just for her daily walk.
Trooper dedication. That's what it's called.
It brought all kinds of things like gathering firewood.
We did that.
You know, that kind of thing.
Everyone laughs or thinks, oh, no, you never did igloos. I'm like, yes.
Yep.
Maybe not igloo. We did them in the front yard, but we were that far north.
did you cut the blocks of ice?
No, but we made them out of like, you know, you'd like let them, you'd do it like when it was warmer in the afternoon and then let them sit and get cold again. Then you rebuild it the next day.
So when you get in there, could you get in there? Is it really warm in there?
It's actually not bad.
I've always wondered.
It's a lot better than the outside of it.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that. Like,
it's an insulator.
Yeah.
If people don't understand that, it's true. Yeah. It works.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it very much.
Then your brother or sister jumps on top of it and destroys it.
Yeah, or it melts or something.
Hours of designing. Crushed.
I love that. I think that could be really, really fun. And I don't know, maybe we'll get some snow here in
Seattle.
I hope
so. I can smell it.
Can you smell it? It feels like it out there. I know it's snowing in the mountains.
Yep. Well,
over the passes. Crazy snow. So do take it easy. And I hope all of you that celebrate Christmas had a Merry Christmas. Somebody told me there's actually like 14 holidays like in the last 2 weeks of December, depending on where you live. And so I do say Merry Christmas, but, you know, happy holidays. I'm not trying to leave anybody out.
Yeah, Kwanzaa, Festivus for the rest of us.
That's right. Happy Hanukkah.
Festivus for the rest of us.
That's exactly right. So we got a lot going on. This is Loretta Brown, and this is, like I said, the original Loretta Brown Show. Mm-hmm. Radio to open the heart, heal the soul, and awaken the consciousness tonight and tomorrow night over at Reiki Oasis. We are having the end of the year despachos, which are prayer bundles for the gods. This is an ancient Peruvian shamanic tradition that I've been initiated into. So I'm going to be doing those ceremonies for people. And it's a lot of fun. You make a couple of lists. You think about what it is you really want to let go of from 2019. Might be a big list. And You put another list of everything that your intention is to draw in for 2020, and then we do a lovely ceremony together, and off it goes. I've done this for years. People bring back all kinds of stories of things that had happened. So today's December 26th, tomorrow December 27th, 7 p.m. in the evening. You can sign up at schedule.reikioasis.com, and honestly, because the scheduler closes 24 hours before the event. If you're coming this evening, the best thing to do is to text me, Loretta Brown, at 425-985-9513. And you can also email me, ReikiOasis@gmail.com, to let me know you're coming, because I have limited seating and it is being held at Reiki Oasis in Bellevue. So if you need to find more information about that, go to ReikiOasis.com. The address and everything is all on there. And a quick astrology check-in, but I do have to check in because it's so powerful. We are just coming out the other side of a solar eclipse new moon in Benny and my favorite sign, Capricorn.
The best.
Capricorn.
I'm
That's
a little
right.
biased, but
That's the best.
It still works. It's the best.
Well, and then we got six planets moving into Capricorn, and I sort of talked a lot about...
Six planets? I feel like I'm on an episode of like Star Wars. Or
I know.
Tatooine.
and the final frontier, you know, because Pluto, the last planet, we're going to go past the final frontier. We got Saturn rolling around out there. So, just lots of stuff. So anyway, the moon represents the emotions, intuition, and our inner core. And the moon became new at 4 degrees of Capricorn, and this just isn't any regular old moon. We've now entered into the eclipse time. Solar eclipses are new moons on steroids, and they herald things like major new beginnings, starts, and initiations. Capricorn, the 10th zodiac sign, deals with authority, structure, obligation, responsibility, politics, and destiny. So leading up to the new moon solar eclipse last week or the early part of this week, I know lots of you were feeling tense. Many of my clients were heavy with sadness or confusion and asking me, is there a light at the end of the tunnel or is this just going on forever? So just prepare yourself. This solar eclipse in Capricorn is one of the most positive and encouraging astrological events of the decade because it's here to awaken and give life to your dreams. Now, these new massive beginnings will deal with the tangible, the tried and true in our lives. And being an earth sign, Capricorn energy focuses on the material and practical realms of existence. This is truly a reset button for our lives. The solar eclipse in Capricorn will demand us to get real, to get very real about what structures, obligations, and duties are working in our lives and which ones are not. Major twists of fate, shocks, and surprises are possible during this time, and this eclipse is encouraging us to step forward. Even if we feel a little afraid, we feel a little trepidation, a little skeptical, I'm going to encourage you all to let go and trust. New doors will open. The time has come to reclaim your power, your purpose. For many of my clients, they're following the deepest calling of their heart to come out and be a part of everything. So this is an excellent time to begin to focus on your mission and your life purpose. The universe is actually giving us a green light for massive action and the strength and willpower to face our darkest shadows and fears. So there you have it, Benny. And that's how we're starting the new year, by the way. We're
all
going
right.
Straight into it.
Let's get after it.
I know. And I can think of no better day for me to have my guests on the show. They are Felicity Elliott and Juliet Krem. Felicity Elliott is the daughter-in-law of Benjamin Krem, a Scottish artist, futurist, esotericist, and principal spokesperson for Maitreya for over 40 years. Felicity is also the editor of Share International Magazine, which Benjamin Krem founded in the early 1980s. And Julian Krem is Benjamin Krem's son. And guess what? He's married to Felicity. That's so helpful. So lovely.
I think it's beautiful.
It works.
Yes.
And both of them, along with a group of many thousands of co-workers, continue the work of informing the world about Maitreya, the world teacher. Welcome to the show, Felicity and Hello. Julian.
Hello.
It's so great to have you on the show again. And
great to be back.
Good to be back.
The season's wishes. Happy holidays to everybody.
Mm-hmm. It's like our two turtle doves have arrived.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful way to say it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Turtle doves, the doves of peace. I like it. So I love you guys' laughter, by the way. It's really lovely. So who was Benjamin Krem? And I don't know who wants to take that question.
Perhaps I'm marginally better qualified, I don't know. he was an artist all his life. He started painting at a very young age, and from his mid-teens, all he wanted to do was paint. And then in the 50s, he was contacted by one of the masters, and we have to explain who they are in a moment. And his relationship with the master developed over the years, and he was in moment-to-moment telepathic contact with him. And from his master, he received certain information about the return to the world of that group of evolved men who we know as the masters, with Maitreya at their head. He is the master of all the masters. And he is also known as the world teacher. We'll get into all of that in the course of the program. But, and Benjamin spent about four decades touring the world, giving lectures, started in London, giving lectures about the return to the world of Maitreya and the masters and all of the background information to do with that. And that was his life's mission, and besides his painting, which of course he continued to do as well. Perhaps Felicity can add something.
Yes, well, he was the inspirer and the galvanizer of so many people who heard him, and I think millions of people have heard his story and have responded to it in one way or another. Whether you believe in anything like esotericism or the ageless wisdom teachings, or whether you are interested in, let's say, philosophies, religious philosophies, this is really information for all, for the whole of humanity, because it really concerns all of us. And Benjamin Krem, as such, was a very inspiring figure and worked to give everyone hope for a completely different way of life and way of being. He also was the founding editor of Share International magazine, which you mentioned, and the author of numerous books. And he saw his role as really to give people hope and information. And I think you know that we do this on that basis too. We aren't really interested, as it were, in converting people or proselytizing, but simply giving out information for people to consider and think about and to have a look at what's happening in the world at the moment and to compare it perhaps with the sort of definition we're giving of, and when I say we, I mean Share International and the co-workers around the world, the sort of definition that we're giving to a new reality and what life really should mean to all of us.
The definition of a new reality. That's a lovely way of saying it.
Well, you know, it's about exploring ourselves, finding out what our true nature is, and then seeing if we can collectively, and I mean the whole of humanity, start working together on all sorts of levels, whether it's, you know, very local level or international level. If we can find ways of working together to find the best possible solutions for all of us, for, you know, every single person on this planet, and not only people, but nature itself, because we're now realizing how interconnected everything is. And so we do have to start redefining ourselves, really.
You know, I was mentioning to both of you before we began the show that when you were on my show a year ago, I could tell that we were headed toward people being ready for this sort of conversation, dialogue, and cooperation, right? But something has happened this year, and I don't know exactly when it happened, and maybe it's very recent, but I very much feel that we are now there, you know, and it's cooperation, I think, is probably the best word.
Yes, people, humanity in very large numbers is waking up to the need for change. And we've seen this year huge demonstrations calling for action on climate change, for example. You've all heard of Greta Thunberg and the movements that she has inspired. And all around the world, people are taking up this mission. Also, we've seen huge demonstrations in many different countries calling for simple justice, social justice, you know, for too long, too much of the wealth and the resources and you know, all the necessary essentials of life have been held in by a tiny, relative tiny handful of families and individuals at the expense of everyone else. And people are beginning to call for a change in this. I'm sure Felicity can recall better than I can where these have taken place, but I remember Chile. Chile recently has seen huge demonstrations calling for an end to corruption, more local government resources and all of that. Yeah. The things that people need in their daily lives. And around the world, in many different countries, we've seen huge growth in these demonstrations this last year, particularly in the climate change. That has really sort of caught people's imagination of all ages, not just the young. And this is leading to, it's a sign that people are waking up.
Loretta, you used the word cooperation, and it is absolutely that, isn't it? As Julian points out, these mass movements for change, that seems to be what we need to do. And certainly our information is that Maitreya does try to, and he succeeds in, I should say, galvanizing, encouraging, stimulating people, really inspiring us to take collective action. Because as you well know, and you seem to know a lot about astrology, I'm afraid I know very little. But as you know, we're moving into the age of Aquarius, and the energies of Aquarius have as their main characteristic the quality of synthesis that brings people together, makes the people really feel impelled to work together, so that you see people coming together to achieve what needs to be done, rather than the individual standing out and trying to make some sort of a difference on his own. As we know, it's hardly possible to make a difference, the sort of differences we need to make. You can't do it on your own. So what you were saying about cooperation, and I noted that you also mentioned that 2020, and with Capricorn and the alignment of planets that's happening, that there would be more possibility of massive action. And I suppose that means massed action as well. So people are coming together, not only because of the astrological lineup, but also because, of course, the masters and the world teacher, however you wish to see him, as a teacher or as a religious figure or simply as a modern man with modern answers to our problems, they, the masters, are standing behind us all and sending tremendous energies into the world, which really are inspiring people to take action, you know, and to demand change. And that's what's happening. That's what we see.
Perhaps I can add a bit to that. The masters are here to help us, and Maitreya is here to lead and guide and help us, but they can't do it for us. We have to do it. We, humanity, have to demand the changes. And the more that we do for ourselves, the more that we call for change, call for our governments to implement change and more just distribution of the world's resources and so on. The more we do that, as the bulk of humanity, the more the masters can help us. For every step that we take towards them, they can take 10 steps towards us. So it's really important that we call for these changes.
You know, it's so rich. What you're saying is so rich. I'm thinking. Number one, Julian, you answered a question I was going to ask, which is, you know, will the teacher do it for us? I know that a lot of religions are looking for the return of a divine being, such as the return of Christ, right? I just want to throw this in there, and then please, I want you guys just to talk and talk and talk. I, years ago, was, I don't know exactly who I got this information from. I've had many teachers. But I had a teacher say to me once something about the fact that the return of Christ would not be in the fashion that many people were expecting. It's almost as though perhaps a piece of that Christ light would be activated in each of our hearts somehow, and that might be catalysted by a person or a group of people. Can you talk to that a little bit? And I suppose what I'm really asking is, we've been throwing the name Maitreya around. Who is Maitreya?
First of all the world religions, as you say, expect the return of a teacher. You know, the Christians expect the return of the Christ. The Muslims, the return of the Imam Mahdi. The Hindus, a new incarnation of Krishna. The Buddhists, the fifth Buddha, also known as Maitreya Buddha. They know his name. And the Jews expect the Messiah, and so on. From the point of view of the ageless wisdom teaching, all of these are different names for the same individual, who is the one who holds the office of world teacher within that group of men that we call the masters. And whoever holds the office of world teacher in any given period is the Christ or world teacher at that period. It's an office rather than a name. Maitreya, that's his personal name, is the one who holds that office at the current time. And it was he who manifested through one of his disciples, the disciple Jesus, in Palestine 2,000 years ago. This time he has come himself, not working through a disciple, but as himself. As people have said, and as you've heard, people expect the return of the Christ or the world teacher in different ways. One way is through the outpouring of the Christ principle and the Christ energy through the heart. And that is what a lot of people think of as the return of the Christ. And yes, that is part of it. But he has also come himself to help lead humanity into the creation of a more just civilization.
Yes, Loretta, you asked, will he come to do it himself? And Julian has indicated, and as you yourself indicated, we have to do it. Humanity has to do it. So we take the responsibility, as humanity is now becoming more and more adult, we take the responsibility, we make the changes, but of course with their guidance, with their help, with the advice of the masters. The masters and Maitreya hold as absolutely sacred the idea of free will. It's not simply an idea, it is absolutely part of our life on this planet, that there is free will, and humanity has free will. So we have to, as it were, want for the world and for the future of this planet. We need to want what Maitreya and the masters are putting forward as the best way forward. They're going to give us advice, guidance, and help, but nothing is ever imposed. So we are free to choose. Hopefully, as we experience this great energy, Julian mentioned the energy of the love of Maitreya, the love energy of Maitreya, and what you mentioned as the light or the love anchored in the heart center. As people begin to experience that, they'll begin to see and experience that also from this extraordinary man, and a modern man, talking in very modern terms about things that we need to change. But people will begin to put together and to make the connection between what they know as the highest and best in themselves and what this person is expressing. And we will see Maitreya on television, and we'll see the masters in due course, and we'll hear them talking about what we need to do, putting forward their guidance. For example, the need to implement a really universal, so worldwide, system of the for the redistribution of the world's resources, of all kinds, resources of technology, food, etc. And there are so many ways in which we have been given guidance already by the world teacher and by the masters. For example, through Benjamin Krem's master, Share International magazine publishes every month an article, and published in the past as well when Benjamin was alive, an article by the master. And each article... By Benjamin's master. And these articles provide us with information, guidance, advice, ideas about how to tackle our problems now.
Yes, perhaps that gives an indication. You mentioned that, you know, many people say that the return of the Christ, or the world teacher, however they know him, will not be the how people expected, he won't, in the first place, be talking about religious matters. He won't be talking about church matters, not about dogma, about religious teachings, and so on. His main priorities, first priorities, are to ensure that every single person in the world has sufficient food, for example, has sufficient shelter, has access to healthcare and education, as basic universal rights for anyone. These are simple, the basic essentials for a dignified life, and every human being has a right to these. But we see such discrepancy between the rich and the poor, between the haves and the have-nots, that this is one of the most urgent things.
Together and with the need to...
The restoration of the environment.
Exactly.
You were going to say,
yes. To save the planet, to restore the planet to health too. Maitreya, the world teacher, puts it very simply, and Benjamin Krem quotes Maitreya when he says, for example, Maitreya sees it as a divine right, as Julian's just said, and he says, when you share, you recognize the divine or God in your brother. And Maitreya again says, look, humanity's problems are real, but they're solvable, and we have the solutions within our grasp. And here's a wonderful quotation: take your brother's need as the measure for your action and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course. In other words, if we identify with each other, if we see ourselves as one, because humanity is one, we are literally one being, and we're totally interdependent. And if you know that, then, and if that's your basis, then we come to what we talked about before, the need to share and the need to redefine ourselves and redefine our reality, so that we do create a world which is a sustainable planet, sustainable world for us all, and we come into different sort of relationship with the rest of nature, which we're beginning to understand. And we start making the sort of politics, economics, financial systems, educational systems, and so on, that truly answer everyone's needs. And that's for humanity to work out collectively, but on the basis of, you know, free will and so on, but advised and helped, of course, and supported by the masters and Maitreya.
That is so well said. It raises 18 more questions. So we're going to take a little station break right now. This is Loretta Brown, and my amazing guests today are Felicity Elliott and Julian Krem, and we're talking about Maitreya, the world teacher, and, of course, conditions on the planet. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Did you know that Reiki healing can be done at a distance? It's true. So let Reiki Oasis focus powerful energy to help relieve your stress, grief, sadness, anger, and so much more. Convenient, personalized treatments at a distance can increase lightness of being. During your appointment, find a quiet place to lie down or sit to receive healing energies. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Need help getting started with self-help? You came to the right place. Alternative Talk 1150.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Did you know that Reiki healing can be done at a distance? It's true. So let Reiki Oasis focus powerful energy to help relieve your stress, grief, sadness, anger, and so much more. Convenient, personalized treatments at a distance can increase lightness of being. During your appointment, find a quiet place to lie down or sit to receive healing energies. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
Exploring new territory every day. This is Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the original Loretta Brown Show with my guests Felicity Elliott and Julian Krim. And the Maitreya, the world teacher, absolutely. So before the break, wow, you said so many wonderful things. And you had a quote, I'm going to re-quote it because it's so beautiful. And it's a quote from Maitreya. Take your brother's need as the measure for your action and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course. And I was sharing with them that I had quite the conversation yesterday with, I have to say, a member of my family who loves to remain anonymous. And we were talking about climate change and the scientific evidence of it and what it is that we've got going on the planet, how we can work together to make it better.
Yeah. The scientists frequently come with more and more precise, you know, based on the latest up-to-date measurements and so on of the ice cap and the temperatures and so on. And every time they come with new information, the deadline for change, which is desperately needed, the deadline for change keeps coming closer and closer.
Yeah, yes.
You know, a couple of years ago, they were saying in 15 years' time. Last year, they were saying in 10 years' time. Now they're saying in 9 or 8 years' time. And in fact, we've already reached certain levels, breakpoints. Points of no return.
Yes.
Which, if allowed to continue, will just turn into runaway climate change and disaster for many, many species on the planet and even humanity. This is really, really important and desperate.
Some years ago, Benjamin Krem's master warned about this and said that we have limited time left, and said, but it is still doable. We can turn it around. Now, what's extraordinary, of course, is what has happened in one single year. I mean, 2019 was not a good year for most of us for many reasons, and we can perhaps just touch on some of those. But in one respect, and a number of others, it has been absolutely extraordinary. And that is, in one year, the world has been transformed in the way that we now see many millions of people taking to the streets, demanding some action on the parts of government to do with dealing with climate change. Now, that was not as widespread or as powerful as it is now, let's say, a year and a half ago. So that's one amazing thing that's happened in 2019. And starting with the children, starting with young people who have taken over, caught the world's imagination and are leading us to make great changes. And they beg politicians to listen to the scientists. And I'd like to make a point, because it might seem as if we're talking about religious philosophy or things that might seem to some of your listeners to be perhaps somewhat unreal or utopian. But, you know, the master's work through all fields, and every field of action, anywhere that someone feels the possibility of expressing the highest and the best for himself and for others, that is, as we could call it, something like that is a valid path to God. It is a way of approaching reality and expressing the soul, or the highest, the super personal, if you like, the super conscious. Some people will refer to themselves as being a soul in incarnation. Other people see themselves as having some sort of higher consciousness. Well, all of that is true, however you define it. And one way to approach the divine is through science. And science is extraordinarily important to us at the moment, because science deals in facts. And they cannot be said to be fake news. I know that you know what I'm talking about.
Thank you for that.
You know what we're referring to. But we must stick to the facts, and we must rehabilitate, as it were, truth. The truth and the facts are extraordinarily important in our time, and we must do everything we can to honor those things, because the truth is actually a part of the divine, and we are part of a huge life. And this divine life that we're part of expresses itself in all sorts of ways. And truth comes close. If we talk of truth, it is, as it were, a statement of divinity. It comes close to divinity, just as sharing does. Sharing is divine, and it is part of, let's say, the divine being that we are, that we're all part of. And it's when those things are, when we don't pay attention to those realities, or what we call the ancient verities, when we don't pay attention to them, then we're out of kilter and we're out of balance. We're out of balance with ourselves, with each other, between nations, and in a planetary sense too. And this is what we need to sort of come to. So ideas like justice, sharing, cooperation, the idea of interdependence, these are all really fundamental facts of our existence, and we need to acknowledge them and to celebrate them in our lives. And science is very important. A new kind of media is very important. And so we need to kind of let's try and rehabilitate the truth and facts. I would like to hear.
In a word, get real.
Get real.
Yeah. Perhaps I can add something just to expand on that. The masters work largely through their disciples in the world. ordinary men and women working in every field. It's the scientific, the educational, the financial, the political, the artistic. In every field of human endeavor, you find those who are in touch with the masters, either consciously or unconsciously. Sometimes they receive impression from the masters, and someone gets the great idea, oh, I think we need to implement some activity in the developing world, whatever. So in that case, they might be just working under impression. But also, some of them work more consciously, have a more conscious contact with their master, and they're in every field, including the scientific and so on. So, you know, this is it's a real process. It's not a theory. And, you know, these are ordinary men and women in the world who are doing Maitreya's work, whether they know it or not.
I love what you just said. And, you know, Julian, I don't know what's going on. You keep answering my questions that are in my head. So I'm just going to go with it. It's just happening. But I was thinking how, you know, there's a consciousness that comes from a master. And I think my question is, so that the Maitreya is, number one, here now. And I'll ask the second part of the question. You guys can go for it. Here now in human form, and also has the ability to influence through our consciousness in some manner. Is that true?
Yes, but
yes, thank you.
Never against our free will.
Yes.
The masters, as Felicity said earlier, they never infringe human free will. It has to be of our own volition, our own willingness to work with the masters. But yes, they can work through us, either through ideas or through their energies. And a lot of the great developments that you've seen in every field are instigated by these disciples of the masters.
May I add something? Loretta, you used the word influence, and perhaps that might give people the wrong impression. I think, Julian, perhaps you were just getting to that. How it works, as I understand it, and of course that would be a limited understanding, but as I understand it, the masters are able to put ideas out into what we call the mind belt, let's say the mental planes. And the more intuitive people, whether they're scientists or philosophers or painters or composers, whatever, the more intuitive people in the world are able to pick up these ideas. So it's not exactly a question of influence in the sense that some people might misunderstand but rather a question of us being open to the possibilities and being responsive to new ideas. And that's how gradually things move forward. Because what we're talking about really is the evolution of consciousness. And this is how we move ourselves forward as humanity, as this one great being that we are. We move ourselves forward by a conscious response to some inspiration, some wonderful idea that might be, you know, we might express it in terms of, oh, a new economic system that will benefit all, or a new way of dealing with particular diseases, or a new basis for the medical field as a whole, and so on. So it's our responsiveness to their ideas, and that's how we shift forward.
It's not influence in the sense of mind control. It's nothing to do with that. Perhaps good to stress that.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that out, because the way you said that, I was I get it. It's there if you if it's in alignment with you or something. You know,
if
I think you guys have. Yeah.
If you can pick it up. You know,
yes, if you can pick it
up. Like a radio station picking up a signal, you know. Which, picking up a signal from a radio station.
Which is why any kind of reflective work or meditation is very good, and because that helps us to be more in line with what you've just said, Loretta, more in line with things, because the more one meditates or does very concentrated reflective work, for example, working in a laboratory, trying to find a solution to a particular, let's say, scientific medical problem, or meditating with focus, it brings you into alignment with your soul. And the soul, of course, is the source of the intuition. And the more you're in touch with that, the more responsive you are to higher ideas. And as we just said, and as humanity can respond to these ideas, so we move ourselves forward. Do you know, I heard someone speaking yesterday and saying that people could be forgiven for being very worried about the state of the world at the moment.
Absolutely.
You look at your television, and of course, as we come to the end of this year, 2019, and we're on the cusp of starting a new decade, people could be forgiven for being worried about the state of the world. If you look at the news around the world, it can be a worry. And I remember a message from Maitreya given through Benjamin Krem and his master to Benjamin Krem. Maitreya talked about the fact that we're in a transition phase, and we're in epic times. And so you see extremes, you see the worst and the best. And this is because the old age is dying out, and therefore the old structures are crumbling, but the new is being born. And so that gives the sort of struggle that we might expect. But I think it's really important if we can learn to look, as it were, with a dual focus at things, and look at the world, be very honest with oneself and realistic, as Julian said, get real, look at the facts, see what's going on, see what needs doing, but then look at the underlying causes. And that is to do with the new energies and to do with the fact that it is actually a positive thing. Things seem to be crumbling, but they're crumbling because the new is being born, the new is taking shape. And that's the struggle we're all in at the moment. It's a sort of creative process to find the best way forward in all fields. So I know people look at the world and they think it's looking pretty, pretty dire, but there's all the hope in the world, with the masters in the world, with Maitreya in the world, and with people becoming, we're waking up, and we're more responsive, I believe. So it can look bad, but I think there's every reason to hope. It's not only that I think it. To my mind, it seems to be obvious. If you look at the signs, you see that we are moving towards finding a new way of doing things.
Yes. And now you, Felicity, answered the questions in my head. But I think it's great. I just love it. As we're moving forward, and my take on it, too, is that, you know, because my guidance told me several years ago, when things are crumbling and things are growing, like you say, it's that dual perspective. Yeah, don't put your head in the sand regarding that which is crumbling. But we really need to focus on building and creating and stepping forward and bringing into what's coming up our abilities to cooperate, because I think it's going to take all of us, as they say.
Absolutely, yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
At the same time, people will not be forced to accept this or believe this, or even when they see Maitreya talking on television and so on, and speaking to them, making an appeal to them, because he will be seen more and more, I believe, fairly soon, will be seen more and more on television, making an appeal for common sense, for practicality, for working together, for cooperation, for sharing, for justice. For example, one thing that's terribly important is that we need to establish a basis for trust. Now, how on earth are we going to get trust between nations that have been at war for ages, or war is being encouraged or stimulated by a third party? Because we know that there's a lot of proxy war going on in the world at the moment. How are we going to get trust? And Maitreya is very simple. He cuts right to the heart of the problem, and he says, if you want to create trust and have trust, because so many people long for peace, but you know, if you long for peace and you say, well, we have to have peace first before we can get trust, that's the wrong way around, according to Maitreya. He and the masters suggest that we need to have a basis for trust. Now, how do you get that? And he says, well, that is why sharing the world's resources is so important, because the minute you share, you acknowledge that the other person that you're sharing with, whether it's a nation or a person, the minute you do that, you're acknowledging their equalness. You respect, you tolerate, and you validate them. You see them as yourself. And when we see ourselves as others, we, in that state of empathy and identification with others, are coming to a stage when we can say, I am my brother's keeper, we are part of each other, and sharing is the very practical basis for a new economic system and a new way of dealing with things, so that everyone has a fair go at it, that everyone has the right to a decent life. Imagine the creativity that we'll actually free up if people have enough to eat and can actually enjoy their lives, rather than this struggle for existence which so many millions of people are suffering at the moment. So sharing is just a very simple, practical solution to most of the world's problems.
Yes, it's a stroke. It will solve a huge number of the world's problems, and certainly the major ones. I think perhaps it's worth pointing out, Felicity just said that Maitreya will be talking and appearing on television and talking about these things. I'd like to point out that at first, not as himself, not acknowledged, simply as an ordinary man with certain ideas.
Yes.
And this is important because people have to respond to the ideas, because they want for the world what he is advocating, and not because they believe he's the Christ or the Imam Mahdi or the Messiah, whatever. So they respond to him because they want for the world the things he's talking about, the things he is advocating, without knowing who he is.
Mm.
That's very important.
Yes.
So at first, he will not be speaking as Maitreya, just as an apparently ordinary man. And in fact, he's been doing this keeping a low profile for many years, but this will get more and more obvious, I expect.
Mm.
I expect we'll begin to, if you know what to look for, it should be fairly easy to recognize him.
Mm. Yes, look for someone who's talking about the need for tolerance and goodwill, democracy, justice, sharing, cooperation, all of these things, because these are the signs of the new time. And that's what you need to sort of wake up one morning, hear this wonderful person speaking and say, wow, that's it. Fantastic. That's what I want. That's what I want for the world. There's a wonderful phrase that Benjamin Krem's master has used. He says, shortly, the truth of these words will become apparent as the events move closer to their inevitable climax. And he says, even the angels hush and whisper in expectation of that time. Isn't that fantastic?
That's beautiful. It's such a message of hope. It's so much hope in this message. So I just want to reiterate this to the listeners who may be going, what'd they say? So Maitreya is actually here already in human form and has been kind of keeping a low profile, but has been on TV.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
In many different countries in the last, 10 years or so.
That's fascinating. And so we can look for him emerging, but coming forward as a regular, an ordinary person. And then has he come alone, or are there others that have come with him to help us? Or?
Well, some of the masters are also in the world and work with him, of course.
Uh-huh.
And they are in various places in the world. They will, as I understand it, they will not make themselves known until Maitreya makes himself known as Maitreya, when he declares himself as Maitreya, which he will eventually be invited to do.
So we have like a minute left. Can you leave us with how to find you, how to be involved in Share International, and any last little bits?
Yes, the first place to start is our website. That's share-international.org. And we're building a new website. So we acknowledge that the old website is not ideal, but we're rebuilding it. So don't be put off by the old site. The information is there. For information in various countries, you can go to, for the UK, share-international.org/UK. For the States, share-international.us. And for Canada, share-international.ca. You will find information on these other sites about local events, lectures, workshops, and so on, and where you can find further information.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Felicity Elliott, Julian Krem, and Maitreya, the World Teacher. This is Loretta Brown. I'll talk to you guys next year.